אתם עם SBS בעברית.
6 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call, recorded message from fire department to say there are fires in Mogo, you must leave immediately. And then said, and you must go eastward towards the beach or towards the water. Firstly, actually, I didn't answer the phone because I didn't recognize the number. I thought it was a scam. Then when I answered the phone and we packed up, my partner had just been away in Nepal for a number of weeks and he only got back the day before. And so we had some things packed and we just put everything in, went into the car. And I said goodbye to the house because it's not just, I live on top, had a lovely house, two-story building, and on the top floor was our unit where we lived, and like a two-bedroom unit, and underneath was my beautiful book and gift shop, which I miss very much. We packed in the car, we saw everyone else in the area just packing up. We headed towards this Tomakan, which is part of sort of the Bateman, all in the Bateman's Bay area, New South Wales, South Coast. We just headed up and we just parked near the beach and a lot of other people in the car park. But it was getting very dark overhead, so by about 10, 11 o'clock, it looked like it was midnight. It was just really dark. There was just no sun, and there was smoke, and there was red, and it was just really scary. This lady started walking along the beach, near the beach, and just saying to people, look, I live in that house over there. If you need to go to the toilet, if you need a cup of tea. So my partner heard cup of tea because he hadn't had his morning tea, so we went over there, and they were just such kind, and they really saved us because they not only looked after us, they gave us lots of hugs, and they fed us, and they didn't have a lot because they didn't have any electricity, they didn't have any, there was no phone lines, there was no Wi-Fi, nothing, so we were really cut off, and they were such really beautiful people.
And I believe there were more people, more refugees, refugees in the house.
She went on her bike and she'd go around and ask everyone if they needed somewhere there. So there was like sort of a couple and then two families with children. So there were like three young children, I think about 9 or 10 people there, plus the two of them. And it was, everyone was really nice. People were hugging, and when some people found out that their house was in a place called Gorilla Bay, and they found out their house was all right. And while I was really pleased for them, but later in the day, I found out that from my daughter in Sydney, because someone, I think in the Sydney Morning Herald, they put photos up and there was a picture of the sign from my shop, but there was just nothing behind it. You know, you could tell it was all been devastated. So so everyone in Sydney was seeing it, got all these hugs from people, and the other people felt, you know, I was happy that they had their place, and it was awful. But I sort of had, even at the back then, you always have hope because you've got to have hope. Maybe there is something left. You know, maybe there's even half the building or something. And if there's something left, so I had to go. And the next day, about 30 hours after, left at 6 o'clock in the morning, day before. So New Year's Day, I didn't really know what day it was because it was all going into one. So when we went there, it was just it was a devastating sight. There's 6 shops in Mogo. It's just a small town, if people don't know, on the Princess Highway between Batemans Bay and Maruya. Yeah, they're lovely little shops, and a lot of us have lived on top of our shops. Not only did we lose our homes, we also lost our business and our livelihood. And as I said, I thought I was going to cry when I got there, but it was very dispassionate because it looked nothing. There was it was just a bit of rubble, and we thought, well, I wonder where that is. Oh, what does that look like? Oh, that looks like the computer, because my partner's a professional photographer with Women's Weekly and other organisations, and he loves it now, and he does a lot of free photography work for, you know, for charity organisations and things. And he left his computer behind, but saved mine and scanner and all the Photoshop and all those things. So all it was, he actually took a photo of it because that's what he does. We said that he should send it back to the manufacturer and say that it doesn't work properly. So that's the thing we've got, is you have to have a sense of, I mean, it's not all the time. I cry a lot, but sometimes you can see, I mean, it's not really funny, but you have to be able to do that. And it's just part, I think, of the healing for us. It's part of the healing process because, you know, we are alive and we're so lucky because a lot of people, there are people who, you know, who lost their lives and their families are really struggling. So at least my family couldn't care less what I saved or what I didn't save, as long as, but they're so happy to have all our children, but happy to have, well, you know, one of their mum or their dad back. So that's really good.
We're talking to Leah Milston, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia, broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Leah, what was the most precious possessions that you feel that you lost in the fire?
I suppose I did mention one. There's so many that I just my mum died over 18 years ago. My dad died 7. I had a lot of things from then that I wanted to pass on to my children. So, and some of my mum's lace work, and you know, her, because she did a lot of lovely things. And then my dad was a prisoner of war, and I think there are some other letters around that other members of the family have. But just things, sort of things like that. But there are also there are so many sort of interesting antiques and books and things like that. But I mentioned that there's what this journal that my grandfather on my mum's father, who I knew, he'd written this book in 1930 when he was secretary to the Ministry of Transport. And it was those days when you went overseas. I remember my mum said he was away, he was about 10 at the time, and he was away for about 10 months. I was looking at it the other day and showing my daughter. She photographed it because he said something about, because Don Bradman at the time, he was going on the boat with them overseas, but he was a younger man, and my grandfather then was about 43. Just, he made some comments about him which weren't very flattering, and she thought that was really interesting. She actually took a photo of it. Yeah, and she said she was glad we had that moment to be looking at it, and I didn't, because it's not something, as I said, you can't sort of replace that, because there were so many references, and it was 1930. So it was an insight into history at the time, and it was just amazing. And people say, well, why didn't you say this, why didn't you say that? Okay, I did have time to pack and things, but you've only got limited space. In the end, you think, well, what will I take? And I was so lucky to have so many wonderful things. I have lost them all, but I had all that enjoyment for all that time with them. Some people never have any possessions at all. It is sad not to have these things with my parents, but I have their memories, and I'll always, you know, have their love. I don't need to have a bookcase to know that to remember my parents.
Leah, I wanted to ask you, what was the reaction of people around you to your disaster?
Some of my closest friends in Mogo, they all were the same, lost their business and their home. So the people around me, we were just commiserating with each other. What I did find is, like, because we're out of contact, I've had so many people, like, I haven't seen heard of for 40 years or 30 years or people who hardly ever contact me. People, that's the thing, that people wanted to get in contact with me, my daughter had to sort of put things on Facebook and say, you know, Mum, just, it was just too overwhelming. And she was sort of talking for me so that I wouldn't feel so overwhelmed. And they all say, I can't imagine what you're going through. And then I say to them, I can't imagine what I'm going through, and I'm going through it, because it is just so surreal. And it's not over yet. That's the other thing. It is really difficult, and people have been, they've been offering, and it's overwhelming, because people said, oh, do you want money? I had people from overseas who wanted to send me money, wanted to send me this, wanted to send me that. Yeah, I found that very difficult.
Leah Milston, we hope that you'll be able to rebuild your life, rebuild your home, and get over this very difficult period. Thank you so much for talking to us. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.